Tonight we're going to be looking at the book of Judges and at the life of one called Samson. Book of Judges chapter 16. The strong man Samson. Judges chapter 16 and verse 4. Would you stand with me as we read from the precious Word of God? Afterward, it happened that he, and the he that we're talking about here is, of course, Samson. Afterward, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Entice him and find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me your great strength, or where your great strength lies, and with what you may be bound to afflict you." And Samson said to her, "If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." So the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, and she bound him with them. Now men were lying in wait, staying with her in the room, and she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may be bound with." So he said to her, "If they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." Therefore Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And the men were lying in wait, staying in the room. But he broke them off his arms like a thread. Delilah said to Samson, "Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with." And he said to her, "If you weave the 7 locks of my head into the web of the loom." So she wove it tightly with the batten of the loom and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the batten and the web from the loom. And she said to him, "How can you say you love me, or I love you, when your heart is not with me? You've mocked me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength lies." And it came to pass, when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, "No razor has ever come upon my head, for I've been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I'm shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and like any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he has told me all his heart." So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. And she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And she awoke from, and he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. The Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. And they bound him with bronze fetters and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Greg, would you word our prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. So we continue our study of heroes of the faith. You know, some of these heroes, we learn what not to do. Okay? And Samson is one of those examples. Now, in the book of Judges, the book is of various men, or God called men who would deliver Israel from the oppression of their enemies. This entire book is about that. And in the beginning of the book, we see how that God, it says, did not drive out all the inhabitants of the promised land. And he didn't do that to test Israel. And the test was to see if they would remain faithful. And there is a repeated theme in this book. And that theme is Israel would turn away from God. And then God would allow their enemies to overtake them. And after their enemies, after they had been defeated, then they would, of course, turn back to God. And then God would give them a judge who would deliver them from the oppression of their enemies. And after they were delivered from the oppression of their enemies, they would, as long as that judge was alive, they'd remain faithful to God. But when that judge would die, you'd never guess what they did. What'd they do? They, again, turned their back on God. And it was a repeated theme over and over. And if you look at the book, you think, wow, won't they ever learn? But it sounds really familiar. The way that we are, you know. I mean, we tend to be one day really close to the Lord and then given a little time, we're really far from the Lord. And we're not so much unlike Israel. And Samson was one of the judges that God had appointed to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines. And it says he was a Nazarite from his mother's womb. And of course, I preached on this a week ago Sunday, which meant he couldn't drink wine or eat things off the vine, the grapes from the vine, or drink strong drink. He couldn't touch a dead body, and he could not cut his hair. Okay? That was the vow of a Nazarite. Now, the result of his faithful observance of this vow was that he had a supernatural strength. A strength that, could only come from God. And if you read previous chapters and previous verses, we find where with his bare hands, there's one instance where he slain 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. I don't know how he did that, but it's an interesting story to read about. And just the few verses before we read tonight, the enemies were lying in wait at the gate for him, and they were going to attack him when he come through. So Samson, being the he-man that he was, he goes out at midnight and he picks up the gates and the gate post and carries them on his back, and he leaves the city. So he was kind of, I want you to envision him with me tonight as being a man's man. He was that muscled up, extremely strong, nobody could stand against him kind of man. And the idea of this entire text that we read was he had a secret. The secret of success. Now I want to ask you a question. I want to start with this question. How many of you are successful? Would you just say amen? Nobody? Are you afraid to say amen? How many of you have ever been successful? Raise your hands. Okay? We've all been successful at some point, but have you ever stopped and asked the question, what is the secret to my success? When you're successful at something, people want to know, how did you attain that success? I've seen people live to an extremely old age, and somebody will invariably ask them, well, how did you make it to 100 years old? Like they know, you know. I don't know, I just lived, I didn't die. I guess that would be the answer. But we all have a reason for success. And Samson had a reason for success, and it was no secret. And that's what we're looking at tonight. And we begin in the text. It says that Samson loved a woman. You just know this is not going to end well, don't you? When the first thing you read about is somebody loved a woman, you know trouble's coming. And I'm not speaking against women. It just sets up the story, okay? Samson loved a woman. And her name was, oh, we can do better than that. Her name was Delilah. Now, with a name like that, this should have thrown a red flag, okay? And the reason I say that is the name Delilah comes from a root word which literally means to distress or to weaken. Now, here's the picture. You've got a he-man, a strong guy that can do anything, that can beat anybody, that nobody is able to stand. And he has a love, and the love of his life is Delilah, and her name means to weaken. Is that not just a clash of characters right there? You know, once again, you know this is not going to turn out well. If you're a man of God with a supernatural strength and the love of your life, her name literally means to weaken, this is not going to turn out well. And sure enough, the Philistines, come to her and they offer her an enormous amount of money and ask her to entice Samson and find out where his great strength comes from. And literally what they've done, they've gone to his weakest point, the love of his life, and asked her to seduce him. And the idea, Samson's going to have a decision to make, okay? The idea is they're going to offer him something that he really wants for the secret of his strength, okay? And there was only one thing at this point that would entice Samson, and that was this love that he had for Delilah. You know, and we often hear, we often think that the secret to his strength, the reason for his strength, was in his hair. But I want to tell you, it wasn't his hair, okay? It was not his long hair. The secret of his strength, or the source of his strength, was the God that he served. And the reason he was so indestructible, for lack of a better way to put it, was because of his faithfulness in keeping the commitment that he had made to that God. There's only one avenue of failure for the man of God or the lady of God. And that's when you turn your back on the source of your strength. I asked the question a while ago, have you ever been successful? I mean, if you're a child of God, you know why you're a success. It's not because of you. It's not because of your talents. There's no such thing as a self-made man or self-made woman. If you are successful, it's because of the God that you serve. We know scriptures like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that sounds really good, but tonight I want to ask you, in your life, what's your price? What is your weakness? What is your price? Because that's what they did with Samson. They struck at his weakest point. And you know what? We have an enemy. That enemy is called Satan. And Satan doesn't play fair. He doesn't hit you where you're strong. He hits you where you're weak. And he does. If he tells you, you know, if people tell us, well, we're not going to allow you to go to church. Sometimes I kind of wish that they'd make a statement. You can no longer come to church, because you know what would happen at Victory Baptist Church if people were told that they could not come here? We couldn't seat them all, you know, because we're just that way. If you tell us we're not going to do something, but that's not the way Satan operates. That's not the way the enemy operates. He entices, brings us to that point where we exchange something. And for Samson, it was going to be exchange the source of his strength for the love he had for Delilah and the acceptance of that lady. You see, what Samson was doing is he was dabbling with danger. You can see the story developing. And once again, you know this is not going to turn out good. She begins with, Samson, please tell me. please tell me the source of your strength. And the first thing he said, he didn't tell her the truth in the beginning. Okay? He said, if you bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, then I will be like any other man and I'll lose my strength. So what did she do? Now, shouldn't a red flag come up when you tell her, if you bind me with bowstrings, and then you wake up from a sleep and you're tied up with bowstrings? Shouldn't a flag go up? It hasn't, apparently has not registered at this point. She ties him with the bowstrings and then she yells out, the Philistines are upon you. And he jumps up, and before he even thinks, he breaks the bowstrings, and they break in such a way it's like yarn put in front of a fire. Have you ever put yarn over a blaze, a flame of fire? It just melts away. Well, she knew. He lied to her. Second time, she comes to him again and says, please, please, you're mocking me. Tell me, what is the source of your strength? He said, well, if you bind me with new rope. So once again, she ties him up with the new rope. Then yells out, the Philistines are upon you. And he broke the rope like thread. Again, you would think a red flag would go off. Third time, please tell me. He said, if you weave my hair in the loom, then I will become weak and like all other men. So what'd she do? She weaves his hair in the clothing loom. And she yells out, the Philistines are upon you. And what does he do? He jumps up and tears up the loom. And then the question. The question that brings it down to decision time. She hit him where it hurt. And she said, how can you say you love me? How can you say that you love me when your heart is not with me? You've not told me the whole truth. Now, at this point, as we read this story, I don't know about you, but I'm backing up saying, no, no, no. Don't you see? Can't you tell this woman's going to destroy you? But he doesn't see it. And that's why I say, he's dabbling with danger. See, so often we think we can handle it. You know, we think everybody around us may be dishonest, but we can handle it. No, sooner or later, if you sleep with the pigs, guess what? You're going to get muddy. All right? I mean, that's an old country boy analogy, but it's a fact. You can't walk through the hog pen and not come out smelling like a hog. Samson, from the very beginning, should have known, should have been able to read the signs. And so it now comes to the point where she challenges, how can you say you really love me? And it says she pestered him and pressed him with her words. And the interesting thing, if you read it in Hebrew, it's literally says, she pestered him and pressed him all day. Now, have you ever, you know, if you've ever raised kids and they wanted something and you tell them no, and they come back 15 minutes later and ask you again and you tell them no, and they come back 15 minutes later and you tell them no, and over again. See, that's the picture here. Okay? To finally, and listen, when your kids do you that way, don't tell them yes. Don't back up, because what that does is it teaches them, the more they pester you, they'll eventually get what they want. That's her mentality. Okay, she literally pestered him to the point that he felt he could stand it no longer. Now it's decision time. He's challenged, and the one thing that he wants is this lady. And she has now said, if you really love me, you'll tell me. there comes a time when we, as children of God, must choose between being faithful to our commitment to God or give up our commitment for something else that we're offered in exchange. It happens repeatedly. You know, for some reason, most people have the idea that this Christian life, Christianity, as long as you're a Christian, there's never a challenge and there's never supposed to be hard times and there's never supposed to be sacrifice. That's not the way it works. Repeatedly throughout life, we're offered, okay, an exchange. I've known preachers and, you know, that have exchanged their ministry. For sin. I've known church members that you thought would be there forever, you know, who exchanged who they were in Christ for something that they thought they wanted. Now Samson's at that point. How can you say you love me when you haven't shared your heart with me? And when she put it like this and she keeps bothering him, guess what he does? I mean, he spills it all. He spills it all. Said, I'm a Nazarite. And from my mother's womb, I have never had a haircut. Now, in case some of our younger men are wondering about that, that's not a plus for long hair for guys, okay? But it was part of Samson's vow. And now he's got to decide to be faithful to the God that called him or to succumb to the seduction of the lady who will weaken him. And he tells her, if I get a haircut, I lose my strength. And so guess what she did? She said, Samson, lay your head on my lap. I can see it. Rest your head on my knees. And I can see her there. She strokes his hair. And I can see Samson thinking, oh, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. She really does love me. And she sits there with his head resting in her lap until he goes to sleep. And then she calls in the barber. Who gives him a haircut. After she has his haircut, guess what she does? She, of course, cries out, the Philistines are upon you. Samson jumps up. And I want you to notice something in the text. He says, he jumps up and he says, I'll go out and shake myself free as in times before. But it says, he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Sad and scary words. He did not know that the Lord had departed from him. When I read those words, it made me wonder how many today believe that God is with them. How many today believe that God is always going to be there to fight the battle for me? That no matter what, God's going to give me victory. How many believe that God will always bless them and will always provide? The question, if you believe that, the question I have for you is, why should God bless you? Why should God fight your battles? Why should He provide your every need? And the reason I ask that question is because there are so many people that have chosen a lifestyle that is in direct opposition to the Word of God and the direction of God. But yet most will still say, oh, God's supposed to provide for me. Why should He? Why should God provide for you in a lifestyle that is contrary to Him? Okay? I mean, it amazes me that people, and you can just insert whatever lifestyle you want, living in sin, homosexuality, dishonesty, corruption, whatever you want to look at, why should God be at your side? And I suggest to you, He won't. He will not. Yet people go through life, and I've even seen them get angry at God because they say, God didn't help me. I want to tell you, there are some places God will not go. You know that? There are some places God will not go. And I want to share with you, you know, in raising my children, and I'm not suggesting I was a great dad or whatever, but I did tell my children one thing. I told them, I will always love you. No matter what decision you make and no matter what you do, I will always love you. But I will not walk down some roads with you. If you make bad decisions, you are accountable for those bad decisions. If you choose to be a drug addict, I'm not going to go to jail with you. If you choose a lifestyle of that's contrary to God, I'm not going to support you in that lifestyle. And I think, you know, as a father, I think, yes, I've got to love them no matter what. I've got to love them no matter what. I can't help but love them because they're my children. But I will not support them in certain lifestyles. We are children of God. And there is never a doubt to the love of God. I have, you know, I mentioned the scripture this morning that God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God has proven that He loved us. But friends, I want to tell you, there's places God will not go. When we are in direct violation, when we deliberately live contrary to the will and the direction of God, He'll not bless it. And we will have to pay the consequences for our action. You know, I thought about this, and most people, had they been Samson, you know what they'd have said? They'd say, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. I didn't cut my hair. But you know what Samson did? He put himself in a position to fall. And he fell. All the warning signs were there, but he fell. If you play with fire, what happens? You're going to get burned every time. Listen, the idea of this message is this. Christianity is more than what you say. Okay? When you become a Christian, you make a commitment to Almighty God. You commit your life to Jesus Christ. You commit your soul to Jesus Christ. And you know, I think it's very reasonable, as Paul put it, that we present ourselves a living sacrifice to God, to be holy and acceptable before God, to be used of God. I ask you again this evening, And I know as I ask this question, none of us are worthy of the blessings of God. None of us. Okay? But I also know that God is merciful and God is faithful. Why should God bless you? I heard a preacher preaching one time, and he was talking about giving. And I thought, and he had made the comment, and I have shared this with you, God won't give to you what, or God will give through you what He won't give to you. But he also asked the question, why should God give you, why should God increase your finances when He knows you're going to use those finances in a way that's selfish? And the kingdom will not profit. Well, you know, as I was thinking about this, that came to mind. Why should God bless me? Am I faithful? Am I committed? Do I faithfully stand for the truth of God's Word? Do I attempt to live the truth of God's Word? Why should God bless me? There's the challenge for the message this evening. Success is no secret. Success, or we're successful by the grace of God. Let us never turn our backs on the wonderful God that makes us who we are. Because when we do that, we wind up like Samson. If you read the rest of the story, you know what happens, right? They come out, they gouge out his eyes, and boy, you know, things get really, really bad. But the good news is, at the end of that, it talks about how his hair began to grow back. Given time, his hair did return and grow back. And at the end of his life, he calls upon God. And they have him chained in this building. And all the Philistines are in that building and the important folks. And he cries out to God, God, give me strength. And his strength returns. And he pulls the pillars of the building down upon his enemies. You may be here tonight and you feel like, man, I've wandered too far. If you feel that way, here's the good news. Even when we fail, even when we're lured away from God, even when we make bad decisions, God still loves us and he can still use us. Okay? So don't stay. If you're in that position, don't stay in that position. Don't say, well, I've done too much. No. It's time to repent. Come back to God. You may be here tonight. You don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's time to be saved. Christ died so that you could have eternity in heaven. Christ died to give you life, abundant life. Have you committed your life to Him? If not, why not tonight? Why not make your commitment tonight? And let all of us be reminded, we have made a commitment to Christ. May we be faithful and may we read the warning signs when Satan tries to lure us away from our wonderful, loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the reminder that there is an enemy that is intent upon our fall. So, Lord, help us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Help us to realize and to identify those things of the world that would lure us away from you and would cause us to forsake our commitment that we've made to you. Heavenly Father, I pray for wisdom, for our church, for myself. Help us to ever be faithful, come what may. And now I pray that as we come to this invitation, Lord, that your will be done. You know the hearts of everyone present. You know the needs of everyone present. And Lord, you have the answer. I pray they'll turn to you to have those needs fulfilled. In Jesus' name I pray.